Good evening, James McCanny here with My Science Hour. It is July 23rd, 2015, and this is the 20th anniversary of the discovery, or the official discovery of the comet Hale-Bopp. So why do I kind of chuckle when I say that? Well, keep listening and you'll find out. But 20 years ago today, the official announcement of the discovery of the comet, which was, now this, let me put this into perspective. Comet Hale-Bopp was a record-breaking comet. It was in the solar system, visible to the naked eye for the longest period of time of any comet known in history. It was, with telescopes, certainly the longest. By the way, that was 18 months visible to the naked eye. Many of you probably saw it if you're 20 years old or plus. Also, it was the longest period comet to be visible with telescope, over 6 years visible, and then with good telescopes, still visible. And so, anyway, I'll be talking about that. But first of all, I want to make a quick announcement that I only post on my webpage, my radio show, or with bona fide talk show hosts. I never post on YouTube. I never post on other blogs or other people's pages. I don't have anything that people can post. So if you see something on some other web page saying that it's me or me saying something, it's completely unauthorized, and I just don't go there. I don't go into, you know, commenting or whatever. That's all part of the other world out there, which is just such a big conglomeration mess that I can't even begin to. And, you know, for decades, I have worked this way. I have worked alone. I have steadfastly stuck to my guns on my work. And in terms of this program tonight, the official program title, is Hale-Bopp, Harrington, Art Bell, Coast to Coast AM, Planet 10, Update. That's the official title. So a bit wordy. But along with tonight's program is another 3 hours of lecture, which are available for those who want to purchase and get the extra information. What I will do during this first hour, which is right now for free, everybody can listen for free, I'm going to cover almost about 100% of the topics that I will cover on the additional hours, but due to the time and the effort that I put into this, I'm charging $20. So up till the end of tonight, if you get to the webpage by midnight tonight, July 23rd, you'll still get the additional for $20. After midnight, that's going to jump up to $40. So I'd encourage you to go to the webpage, jmccsci.com, if you're interested, and buy the for $20, you get the complete four-hour lecture set, which includes this show, plus supporting material. So that means I'm going to have to talk very fast. There's such a huge amount of material here, but I made a previous announcement regarding this show that I had made some new discoveries regarding this whole topic. So this is a combination Hale-Bopp Planet X update. And let me just review, first of all, there are many, many Planet X objects. This has now been confirmed. I have been so successful at bringing this message to the public that the standard scientific community last January came out and actually admitted they had had a search program underway, automated search telescope program, and discovered a minimum of 2 Planet X type objects. These are bigger, much bigger than let's say four Earth masses, so quite a bit bigger than Earth, all the way up to Jupiter size or possibly larger. But they had discovered at least 2, and the way they discovered these was by the motion of minor planet-sized objects out in what is known as the Kuiper Belt. That's the region out beyond Pluto. In fact, Pluto is one of these objects. It's a planet in its own right. It has five moons. The New Horizons spacecraft just visited there. Something I predicted all along was that Pluto would act like a comet, and NASA came out and announced it. They said Pluto has a tail. Venus, they finally admitted that Venus has a tail, comet-like properties. Mars also does. And so, and Earth does. Actually, all the planets do. They're all discharging the solar capacitor. But the point is that that all of my work really has been confirmed. The spacecraft from the Rosetta spacecraft landing, having a lander land on the nucleus of Comet 67P, finding out that there is no water, there is no ice, there's no snow, it's a hot, dry rock, has striated rock in the nucleus, a great big outcropping. I show a picture on my page compared to a Colorado Rocky Mountain striated rock outcropping. The same thing on this little nucleus of a comet that's about the size of the island of Manhattan, covered with a nitrogen, hydrogen, oxygen powder. It's basically the building and carbon. Carbon also, of course, the four major elements, periodic table elements, combined into this mix of powder that covers the surface of the comet nucleus. Nothing coming off the comet nucleus. A little bit of dust gets pulverized and blasted out of basically circular caves that go straight down into the surface. That's where the electron beam connects with the comet nucleus. So all of my work really has been, in the last year, it's been triply certified, confirmed. And so, like I say, I go back in dealing with the topic of Planet X was long before the popularization of the term Planet X. And so I'll be talking a little bit about the definition of Planet X and what it really means. But the internet is so full of quacks and people that just have no background at all. And all they are doing is repeating people that have, you know, all through the, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s, 2011, 2012, 2013, saying Planet X. You know, they're trying to tell you that it's in, you know, coming, it's any day, it's due, you know, all of this. People taking my voice out of context. One of my listeners actually went back and found all the various radio shows that they did in the past where they took and clipped out little pieces, glued it together, and made it sound like I was predicting that a mini solar system would come in, was coming into ours, and that we were all going to die. And of course, that was a cut and paste job, total misinformation. And then they put it up on YouTube, and that's why I say I don't post anything on YouTube. Then this made its way around to other web pages, etc. So at any rate, that's why I work alone. I only post on my web page. I don't have email groups. I don't have people who represent me. Constantly people are trying to represent me and say, Jim McCanny says this or whatever. I tell people, the people who really support me, simply send out a link to my web page, nothing more. Just a link to my web page, because there's over 6 gigabytes of information on my web page. Plus, you know, all of my books, that doesn't include all the books, CDs, DVDs, etc. And so at any rate, when I started working on this, it was before my career at Cornell, which was 1979 to 81, and I was working on the electrodynamic comets, the plasma discharge comet model. When I finally got to Cornell and I started seeing the data, I said, you know, I see all of my work in this data. And to date, the standard scientific community has no clue what is going on still. They're seeing data. They don't have a clue. They've got it all mixed up, upside down and backwards. Okay, so let's get up to the topic at hand here. The first thing I want to announce, and I'm going to go into a lot more detail in the second, third, and fourth hour of this lecture series, but first of all, the issue of Hale-Bopp, the issue of Hale-Bopp has taken on a completely new direction. Here is the issue. Now, a long time ago, I had a suspicion, and I started to do what I called the Harrington Expedition. This was back in the 1990s, where I was going to go and retrace the steps of the head of the Naval Observatory, Harrington. He went to New Zealand and was on his way back with the final data, which he claimed was the search for Planet X. That was in 1990 and 91 when he was doing that. The program actually started in the 1980s. And so what I'm going to be talking about here is some of the pieces of the puzzle that in a long time ago I had a suspicion that there was something related to Hale-Bopp in this entire issue. And that's when at the very beginning of the show I talked about the discovery of Hale-Bopp, and I kind of chuckled because that was the official public discovery of Hale-Bopp at that point. And so what I planned to do back then was to go on what I called the Harrington Expedition to the Southern Hemisphere and retrace the steps in the month of May and June. Well, I made a mistake. I made a public announcement that I was going to do that, and I was followed. I couldn't even believe. I couldn't turn a corner without somebody being in front of me, behind me, you know, where I was staying, and so I didn't get very far at all. Obviously, I was afraid for my life at that point. And so, but at that time also, it was a little bit premature. So this past May and June, I completed the Harrington Expedition in secret, went on my own, and in under cover of darkness, so to speak, and finished the search of the Southern Hemisphere for any incoming objects using the same level of equipment used by Harrington. And now there's a reason that I did that, because he was using an 8-inch astrograph, which is a small telescope, almost like a tabletop telescope, 8-inch. Now, you all know what 8 inches is. That was the diameter of the astrograph that he was using. So it's basically an astronomical calendar. And he knew exactly where to point it. And the idea was that in the year's time, the object he was viewing, which he called Planet X, had moved against the background stars. And obviously he had was able to then determine the movement and orbital information. He had already had pictures of this on previous star charts, so that would give him quite a few data points to calculate the exact orbit. So, okay, fast forward to 2015. Now, remember, this is 1991. This is 24 years ago. Harrington is in New Zealand bringing back the final photographs of the search for what he called Planet X. And so this, by the way, when it comes to bringing up topics, I was the first one to notice and to make mention that the idea of Planet X coming from the south, and that was based on Harrington's work, because it was only visible in that part of the sky, visible in the months of May and June. And so to follow up the trip now, what I was able to do now was search that area of the sky again and any regions where any object might be coming into the solar system, and confirm that there was no object, that currently, as of today, July 23rd, 2015, there is no object out with that quality of telescope, that same quality with a larger telescope, with, say, infrared or other types of telescopes, you might be able to see farther, fainter objects, etc. But the reason it's important, because if there was anything that Harrington saw at that point that would be coming into the solar system, it would have been here long, long ago, because it took Hale-Bopp another 4 years to get into the solar system where it was discovered. It was discovered between the orbit of Jupiter and Saturn, almost as it was coming up to the orbit of Saturn. Almost up to the orbit of Jupiter. And so I'll be talking about the exact orbit of Hale-Bopp. But what I'm going to tell you tonight is rather earth-shattering. So all of this information, and this is something I've been trying to trace people have been trying to get me to make predictions about when do I think Planet X is going to be here. And the end result is that I have always refrained from that. I said, I'm a scientist. I need scientific data. And that's why the disinformation crew took my voice out of pieces of my old radio shows, clipped them, and put them together to make it sound like I was predicting that there was the mini solar system clip. And the reason they did that was to try and put words in my mouth and create a defame my name, saying that, oh, well, McCanny said back then, and that original posting appeared in 2013. And so that was posted on YouTube, and a lot of people looked at that. And then people came to my webpage to try and confirm that, and I had a big posting say, this is not me saying this, this is not, this is my voice, but they've created these clips. And so the tremendous amount of effort being put into defame me, but also to try and get people to make a prediction for Planet X and then have it not come true. But let me get back to Harrington. And I'm going to go, like I say, into a lot more detail in the subsequent hours, but I want to talk quickly so that I can cover all the other topics that I'll be covering in this series of lectures. The end result is there is nothing out to that same distance of where where Harrington was looking in 1991. So that is a study that I personally completed. I can tell you tonight on this radio show that this is a very firm announcement that there is no Planet X object coming into the solar system from the south in the merry, merry month of May or June from that region of the solar system. Now, there could be something farther out. Does this mean that there's no Planet X? No, that does not mean that. That means that what we're talking about here is the Harrington study and the follow-up of the Harrington study. But this is very important because the comet Hale-Bopp was in exactly that region of the solar system at that time. And that's another thing that I've done, was trace back the orbit of Hale-Bopp. And there's no doubt, there is absolutely no doubt that what Harrington had photographed was the nucleus of Hale-Bopp. So this is an extraordinary discovery, and it's something that I've been working on for, like, at this point, over 20 years. And so what this means is that NASA, who was contracting the Naval Observatory, this means Harrington, this means also Harrington's assistant, Tom Van Plander, who is now deceased, all of these people had knowledge of Hale-Bopp in 1991, and probably before that. This is an incredible combination of history, facts, and it's something that you will only hear on my radio show or from me. This is why I rather chuckled at when I said the discovery of Hale-Bopp, July 23rd, 1995, 20 years ago exactly today, because it wasn't. It was not, let me repeat, it was not the real discovery of the comet Hale-Bopp. It had been discovered 4 years, minimum of 4 years earlier, by Harrington. Harrington ends up dead. Okay, that's one issue. Was he murdered? I would put a high probability on that. And the other aspect of this is, even if he died from natural causes, why was his research, which was openly published in open NASA publications, why did it end when he had the confirmation data in hand? Tom Van Flandern, his assistant, who, by the way, was a very good astronomer, I have a lot of respect for Van Flandern, but he ended up being one of the main key figures in the entire disinformation campaign trying to get the public swayed away from the whole concept of Planet X. His official stance on his webpage was that there was no Planet X. Now, let me just go into a little bit of history about Van Flandern, because he is the one that actually pushed Harrington into looking for Planet X. And Harrington actually acknowledges this, that in the supporting material that I have with this program, you'll be able to read this for yourself, that Harrington acknowledges Van Flandern, who was his assistant, into moving towards the search for Planet X, which NASA actually funded. Van Flandern, one of his babies, so to speak, and like I say, he was a very good astronomer. He worked on a problem which is theoretically very difficult and really not even resolved today, many years later, was the velocity of gravity. That was because it has a tremendous importance in theoretical astronomy and astrophysics and space science. You know, compared to the velocity of light, I mean, it's really not known. We don't have a measurement for the velocity of gravity. And so that was one of Van Flandern's babies. And I highly respect him for that work. Also, he was instrumental in promoting the concept that there was once a planet between Jupiter and Mars, and where the asteroid belt is. And he said he had actually traced back orbits of the asteroids to one common origin, and that would have been in somewhat recent historical times. In other words, and the reason the asteroid belt was there, he said, was because a planet was there and something collided with it and smashed into it and blew it to smithereens, and that's where the asteroid belt came from. Well, my work shows that a lot of the asteroids are actually captured. They're captured in that region by Jupiter as they become comets in the solar system. The tail drag circularizes their orbits. But if you look at the asteroid belt, it's not like a belt of, say, the rings of Saturn. It's a big zone. It looks like more like a donut. And the orbits of these asteroids are going backwards and forwards and up and down. And they're kind of all over the place. But Van Flandern was rather adamant, and of course he did not have good data at that time. Recently, I met a physicist from Azerbaijan on the Caspian Sea, this physicist was working with NASA, so a physicist from Russia working with NASA, and what they were doing is spectroscopically examining asteroids, and what they could do is take one asteroid, especially in the Vesta group, and put them back together like a jigsaw puzzle, showing that these all were one part of one larger object in the past. And more recently, the nucleus of Comet 67P, which the European Space Rosetta mission landed on, shows striated rock in the nucleus, of outcropping of striated rock, which means that that piece of nucleus of that comet was once the part, an interior part of a water planet, because that's the only place where striated rock can come from. And so anyway, the bottom line is, going back to Van Flandern, he was promoting the concept that this planet was blown to smithereens out in that region between Mars and Jupiter, and all of the asteroids were remnants of that. And so it looks like at least some of the asteroid belt is. Guaranteed, a lot of the asteroids out there are captured, things that were never in our solar system originally and were brought in from afar, captured by Jupiter, Saturn, or even Mars or Earth, and eventually became members of this region out there where there's no planet to collect them or throw them out. So that's just a collecting ground. I use this example. If you're driving down a gravel road, and it's a brand new gravel road where the tire tracks go, the rocks bounce around, and some of them may bounce back on the area where the tire tracks go, but eventually it clears out the region where the tire tracks go, and you get down to pretty much hard, almost very packed, compact gravel. But all the loose gravel is thrown out of that region. It's a statistical kind of issue. But since there's no planet between Mars and Jupiter, using the same type of statistical analysis, it's a collecting spot for small objects to accumulate out there. But anyway, back to Van Flandern. How could he promote this idea that there was a planet there? It got cremated. It got slam-basted. by another planet that it had to be a rogue planet coming in from the solar system from afar, because this this other planet had been there for obviously for a long time. And so this rogue planet comes in, slams into it, blows it to smithereens, yet Van Flandern publicly stated that there was no Planet X. And he also was a handler for a group. This the years before he died, he was a handler for a group whose one of their primary motivations was to steal my work and change it into something crazy, and also to include the idea that there is no such thing as Planet X. And my work, of course, the whole basis of it, not the whole basis, but one of the side effects, is that big comets, the great, great big comets, can become planets like Venus. And I'll be talking more about that in the future. But anyway, when Hale-Bopp was in the solar system, my work was central to an amazing controversy that occurred, in which the Art Bell Show, I had been guest on the Art Bell Show, the old Art Bell Show back in the mid-90s, talking with Whitley Strieber and Art about the whole issue of Hale-Bopp. Art had been accused of being responsible for the murder of 39 Heaven's Gate people, and that's a very complex story. I'm not going to talk about that right now. Let's go back to Harrington, Van Flandern, the Naval Observatory. So let me put it this way. Van Flandern knew that Hale-Bopp was what Harrington had discovered, but he never said it. Now it's confirmed, because let me put it this way. If there were something else down there that was a Planet X type of object, we would have discovered it by now. It's had 25 years, way, way more than enough time. And like I said, Hale-Bopp worked its way into the solar system around Jupiter in 4 years. So in 24 years or 25 years, any other extraneous objects that would have been accompanying Hale-Bopp would have had plenty of time. Now, I've been asked to be on specials. I was on a History Channel special dealing with the topic of the Hopi Indians. The Hopi Indians talked about the Blue Kachina and the Red Kachina. They said when Hale-Bopp came in, they said that was the Blue Kachina. And they were expecting within 5 to 10 years the Red Kachina, which was the big one, they said, was Hale-Bopp, was the companion, or Hale-Bopp was a companion to a much larger comet. And they talked about comets. The Hopi elders very publicly stated that these were comets, and that the comets were the dangerous ones, were the blue ones. And now we know that comets light up like a light bulb. They are very bright in the ultraviolet and blue. So the blue ones are the ones that are very energetic. The electrical discharge is so energetic that they light up literally like a light bulb. So anyway, let's go back to Harrington, 1991. The discovery of Hale-Bopp. Now, this is huge, because when Hale-Bopp was discovered in 1995, Nancy Leader was already on the pavement. She was already on the street pounding her May 15th, 2003, End of the World by Planet X date. She was already talking about it looking like a giant orange red dwarf. And by the way, red dwarf is one of the biggest misnomers in this whole topic of Planet X. There is no historical evidence for something being a red dwarf. In fact, red dwarf is a very modern term. It's a astronomical term that's really theoretical, and something that has been observed only with telescopes. So it's not something that came from the ancients. There was no ancient walking around talking about red dwarfs, believe me, no matter what anybody tries to tell you. But the reason, let's go back to the reason that Harrington was looking down there in the first place was because the orbits of Neptune and Pluto, and he was very verbal about this, the orbits were being pulled down, the paths of Neptune and Uranus were being pulled down out of their orbits, and this isn't like they're coming way out of their orbits, but they were not following orbits with the Sun as the epicenter. They were being pulled down, so that meant there was something significant, And he gave it an estimated size of about 1 to 4 Earth masses. So this is not giant. It's just a planet that was sufficiently massive to pull something down. Now, the official size of Hale-Bopp, the nucleus, was 60 miles or sometimes 60 kilometers, 42 miles across. And so total misinformation from NASA once again. And so there is no question at all that what Harrington was looking at was the nucleus of Comet Hale-Bopp before it erupted and became a comet. Now, let's look at some other factors. Hale-Bopp had its orbit changed on a daily basis. And the change in orbit was posted on the Smithsonian webpage by Brian Marsden. When it first came into the solar system, Brian Marsden made a statement. He said, this is so big that the standard Dirty Snowball Comet model jetting model would not allow it to change its orbit. So he said, this comet is going to be on a perfectly stable orbit. And when it did come in, it finally did interact a little bit with Jupiter, but that didn't change its orbit significantly. The orbit of Hale-Bopp came in with a 4,200-year orbit, and when it left, it had a 2,600-year orbit. Now, let's go backwards. And so some people are out there going, well, Harrington didn't discover Planet X. Well, yes, he did. That was the Planet X object, and it very could have been the object that was here probably 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. Now, let's trace Hale-Bopp back. Let's go back from that 1991. Let's look at where it was in 1991. Hale-Bopp, guess what, boys and girls, grandmas and grandpas, NASA scientists, people at the Naval Observatory, the MIL Tier 1 scientists that know all about this. Hale-Bopp, the nucleus of Hale-Bopp, was absolutely perfectly directly below the planet Neptune. Uranus was a bit farther out, so it was in exactly the place where Harrington was looking. There is no question that, first of all, there could not have been any other object there. Let's look at the facts. If there would have been something else there on the way out, we would have seen it previously. We would have seen it in the solar system previously if it were outbound, going out the opposite direction. If there were something along with Hale-Bopp that were bigger, it had more than plenty of time to get into the solar system and come into the solar system. So, and then my final exhibition this spring to the southern hemisphere to look at that region of the sky, to study that region of the sky and confirm that there is nothing there at this point, confirms that there was nothing even farther out, 10 or 20 years farther out, than what Harrington was looking at, which comes to the pure final conclusion. What Harrington was looking at in 1991 with his astrograph was the nucleus of Comet Hale-Bopp. But now let's talk about some other details here. When it was at that point in its orbit, it was on literally a direct collision course with Earth. Now, why do you think they didn't want Harrington announcing his data? It's because it was, and when I say direct collision course, I don't mean it was going to crash directly into Earth. I would say it was bound to come in within 1,000,000 miles of Earth. That means that in a comet, we would have been in, as that turned into a comet, and the MIL-1 boys know very well that my work is correct. They have been forcing this Tier 2 Dirty Snowball Comet model on the public all the way back since my work appeared when I was at Cornell. They knew I was absolutely correct about this. In fact, these scientists have come out and talked to me and told me that. So I know for a fact that they know it, and I know for a fact that the Tier 2 baloney science, this is what I always talk about, the fairy tale science, the Tier 2 fairy tale science, or the simple Simon silly science that's pawned off on the public, is there to confuse the public, to make sure you do not understand what's going on. So here we are. Let's go back. 1991. Hale Bopp, the nucleus of Hale Bopp, it has not erupted. It has not discharged the solar capacitor enough to where it has become a comet. In fact, there's very good evidence to show that that only happened when it was coming very close to crossing the ecliptic, that's the plane of the planets, just outside the orbit of Jupiter. That's when Hale and that's when Bopp, Thomas Bopp and Alan Hale, discovered it. Both the same night, that baby was exploding into brightness. And Thomas Bopp, by the way, was using a friend's telescope and just looking up into the sky, and he goes, "Man, look at that big comet up there." And it took them a little while to determine that it was a comet and not a known comet. Alan Hale was a well-seasoned amateur photographer, astronomer, etc. And he checked it out. He knew immediately he had discovered a major comet because this baby exploded, kind of like the Comet Holmes. Remember Comet Holmes? It came in a perfect alignment with, I believe it was Jupiter. And it exploded into brightness, became the biggest object in the solar system, its coma larger than the sun. And so this is the kind of explosive activity that comets can have. So Hale-Bopp literally in one night, July 23rd, 1995, exploded into brightness, became a major league comet. And I'll be talking about that too, because at that point, it had a companion. Now let's go back to Harrington, 1991. What else would he have seen? He would possibly, very likely, have determined that Hale-Bopp had a companion. Astronomical theory says that if you see a companion around an object, simply by measuring the diameter of its orbit, or the radius of its orbit, and the period of its orbit, you can determine the mass of the central object. So they would have also known in 1991 that Hale-Bopp was a large nucleus, that the nucleus was at least four times the size of Earth, and that it was massive, and that was the object that was pulling down on Neptune and Uranus. So that, and Harrington had found this. But why didn't they let Harrington make this announcement? This would be a major astronomical announcement in the world of astronomy. Well, boys and girls, this baby was on a collision course with Earth. Within 7 years, the Earth was doomed. Now, when the crazy lady talks to alien Nancy Leader started her campaign, disinformation campaign about Hale-Bopp, or I'm sorry, about Planet X, she claimed that Hale-Bopp was an illusion. That it was just something that, if you looked up in the sky, that was simply an optical illusion and there was nothing to it. And why would they pick, of all dates, May 15th, 2003, for the Nancy Leader, crazy lady talks to alien, Planet X is going to kill us all, end date? Well, there again, you have professional astronomers involved in that tremendously widespread disinformation campaign, something that got national headlines, coast-to-coast AM radio show. And remember that Art Bell lost his radio show in that interim in the modern version of coast-to-coast AM with George Norrie started at that point. But that's a whole nother issue. When Art Bell posted two photos, one from a friend of mine, Chuck Schrammick, talk show host from Houston, Texas. I had been on Chuck's radio show many times on my webpage and also included with this show, is a copy of an interview that I had with Chuck Schrammick. And it's very interesting because in the interview we talk about Hale-Bopp and Planet X and these topics and the Art Bell show and all of this. So that's very interesting. But back to the crazy lady talks to aliens end date of May 15, 2003. How did that date get picked? Because she started this at the same time when Hale-Bopp was discovered. She was coming out of the closet. And so, it was always kind of a mystery. This was such a certain date. So the aliens were telling her May 15, 2003. Well, it wasn't until about three nights before that. I'm listening to Phil Plait, who's one of the biggest disinformation pawns on the planet. He's talking to George Norrie on the show about this, you know, everybody's going to die in 3 nights and how silly it is. And he spills the beans. He says, you know, this is supposed to be this is the same night as this big orange full moon that will come up over Japan and and Europe, then United States. And all these suicides were planned. This was publicly known that along this May 15th, all of these mass suicides were supposed to go on, one in France, one in the United States, or two in the United States, and one in Japan. So I got on the phone, and I called up NASA, and I said, look, buddy, if you don't use your power of the press to say that this whole thing is a hoax, and this May 15th, 2003 is a big full moon, it's not Planet X. If you don't go out and do that, then... and by the way, these suicides were planned disinformation ops. These were false flag events, and they were going to publicize it all over. They wanted to take the topic of Planet X and make it into the craziest thing ever. Mass suicides, crazy lady, aliens, Planet X. And they wanted that to be the end of that topic forever. But one thing they didn't count on was me showing up and calling them up and telling them if they didn't use the power of the press, I would publicly blame them for any suicides that happened. Well, obviously, that blew their cover. They couldn't go on with the mass suicides. The whole thing shut down, and the rest is history. Well, you know, now there must be 20 people out there every spring, every fall. You know, people out there, Planet X is coming. You know, that supposedly it's going to be here, and, you know, predictions. You got clowns out there saying that it's going to happen in September, that they were saying the same thing, carbon copy, back in 2013 and 2005. And the laundry list of idiots that have been floating around this topic is just absolutely incredible, the amount of misinformation. And I will be picking all of that apart in this whole lecture series. This is very important to not only talk about what is going on, but the misinformation that's been pawned off on the public. Okay, so this is very, very important. Now, back to the Hale-Bopp days, let me just review this. 1991, Harrington discovers the nucleus of Hale-Bopp. He's calling it Planet X. He's coming back to Washington to publish his result. He ends up dead. His work is buried. His assistant, Tom Van Flandern, one of the primary people out there saying there's no such thing as Planet X, completely contradictory to his own research that says that there was a planet between Mars and Jupiter that got obliterated by some Planet X type of object. Totally contradictory. Then he's the handler for a group of people whose main job it is to steal my work and present an image that there is no Planet X and that comets are little and that they go away. You know, this is all coming back to roost now, because now you know the other part of the story. There was no other companion near Hale-Bopp. But okay, so as long as I'm talking about that, let me clarify that, because now we have to go backwards in time on Hale-Bopp's orbit. Remember that Hale-Bopp lost about half of its orbital period. In other words, it came in with a 4,200-year period. It lost a lot of that. In other words, its orbit got smaller, and so its orbital period became much shorter. It went around the sun in a shorter period of time, so its velocity picked up speed. And so this is all, and its orbit was much smaller. So 4,200 years reduced down to 2,600 years. Those are approximations. They're not exact numbers, just so that you can, that I don't confuse people, but those are approximate numbers. So now Hale-Bopp is leaving the solar system. It has lost some more time because of the tail drag. It left much larger than when it came in. It picked up the tail buildup material as it was a major comet, caused Hale-Bopp to be much larger. It is literally the newest planetary member of our solar system, but its orbit is 90 degrees from the ecliptic, from the orbit of the planets. Now, it'll be back in another, say, estimated 2,600 years, but let's go backwards. Hale-Bopp went out there 4,200 years ago is when it left the solar system. and it lost a good deal of its prior orbit on the way out after it had the closest approach to the sun. So I'm estimating that 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, not 4,200 years ago, but 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, Hale-Bopp was in the solar system. Gee, boys and girls, that happens to be about this time of the Noah's Flood. Could Hale-Bopp have been the cause of the Noah's Flood on his previous visit? And here's something I did, and not even thinking about this at the time, I used Hale-Bopp because it was a real comet. It was a big comet, not big. Let me just kind of classify comets. Small, like Halley's Comet. Medium-sized, like Hale-Bopp. And super-large, like other comets that we don't really have not seen in modern times. But the point is that I did a calculation. Taking the width of the tail, of the water tail of Hale-Bopp, and then crossing through it, the Earth would have taken about, guess what? About 40 days and 40 nights, the exact time of the stated time of the Noah's Flood, so that we would have had this influx of water. And if we went through the tail, there would have been a lot of tumultuous weather, etc., some hydrocarbons coming in, but the major contributor, the pollutant, would have been water. The ocean levels would have raised 200 to 600 feet, exactly like as happened, but it wouldn't have been close enough to cause tremendous gravitational effects like mountain building, etc. And so Hale-Bopp could have been the comet of Noah's Flood. That's a possibility. It's not in concrete. But the other thing is, the Hopi Indians talk about Hale-Bopp being a companion of a larger object. Now, the larger objects, it's kind of interesting because the medium-sized comets are the ones that have their orbit changed the most due to tail drag. The large comets are too large to have their orbits changed significantly, and the small comets don't have enough gravitational mass to hold on to the materials, so they don't have their orbits changed significantly either. It's the medium-sized comets like Hale-Bopp's that do a tremendous amount of mass buildup relative to their original size that have the big orbital changes. So the point is that if Hale-Bopp had been accompanied by a larger object on a previous orbit, that object could be still out there coming in. And that's something I would have not seen with my equipment, but that's something that NASA and other people could possibly see with their equipment. And given what I've been able to detect, it wouldn't be here for another 4 to 5 years, and that's an estimate, if it were going to come in at all. And I'm not saying there is something out there. I'm saying it's an open question. It's an open scientific question. But understanding that we have been spending entirely too much time concentrating on this area of the South when there might be something there. But now what I have been saying all along is that there are many, many Planet X type objects. NASA has confirmed what I've been saying all along, that these objects form and continue to build up out in the Kuiper region. They continue to get bigger. Pluto now verified having a comet tail growing extensively. Pluto has mountain ranges. It's been building up the atmosphere. NASA, of course, says that the atmosphere is being depleted, but it's actually building up. But what we have now is a situation very strange. There's three major classes of Planet X types of objects. Ones that come in from completely out of the solar system that just happen to be wandering by. Those are the ones that are really not related to our solar system. They come in completely unannounced, and they may be captured. They may be thrown out of the solar system. They may cause a lot of damage. They may not cause a lot of damage. Class 2. The objects that are in long orbits around the sun that are already related to the solar system from, say, Saturn on into the sun, that their orbits come in within that, in that region. They may be big, they may be small, they may be medium-sized. all of these objects are Planet X-type objects. And so Venus was a Planet X-type object. It had a tremendous amount of damage it inflicted on Earth. This is what Velikovsky was studying. Velikovsky looked at that one incident, and that's what he concentrated on. He was studying calendars. So Venus, a comet. I'll talk later about Mercury having a very unusual orbit. And orbits within a very short amount of time become stabilized. They become circularized and they drop down into the plane of the planets. This is due to the tail drag on the comet that circularizes the orbit. And the orbit of Jupiter, or the position of Jupiter, pulls down on anything above the ecliptic, pulls up on anything below the ecliptic. And within a relatively short amount of time, the objects are pulled up into the plane of the planets, given that they're in a great orbit. In other words, they're moving in the same direction as all the other planets. Mercury has an orbit which is highly elliptic and way out of the plane of the planet. So it really doesn't fit in. It almost suggests that Mercury, although it looks like a very old planet, probably had a major encounter, which is very possible because these big comets, many of them come in close to the sun, which is another reason for the large comets inflicting electrical discharges, interacting with the sun, causing large CMEs. And for example, Hale-Bopp, after Hale-Bopp left, the sun went down into a minimum of over 2 years, almost 600 days without a single sunspot. It was pumped up to tremendous heights during the active time when Hale-Bopp was in the solar system, and it was reduced when Hale-Bopp was outside the solar system as it moved out. And so after Hale-Bopp left, now we're stuck with this very quiescent, low-energy sun because a lot of the solar capacitor, a lot of the energy that's driven back into the sun for a fusion, the surface fusion of the sun, one of my other theories, shows that the sun definitely interacts. And so that could be another cause for ice ages. A big comet comes in, unleashes tremendous amount of energy from the sun, which affects Earth, Earthlings, etc., possibly causing mass extinctions, and all of a sudden leaves Earth in an ice age. And we know the Earth has had many ice ages, and so it appears that the comets are the cause of the ice ages also. They don't always have to come close to Earth. Action at a distance is a term which I will talk about further. You can read about that also in my books, but that's a very important concept to understand. The idea that a Planet X object always has to come close to Earth and do massive damage is completely false. In fact, the majority of time they don't do hardly any damage at all, because it's statistically very improbable that they're going to get that close to Earth. Or the idea that if something comes back in a 3,600-year orbit, that it's going to crash into Earth again. You know, that's just fallacy. So I'll be talking about a lot of these fallacies in upcoming extra hours of lecture. Also included in the extras, along with the 4 hours of lectures, will be the references to the Joyce Riley show that I was on recently, debunking some of the craziness about fall of 2015. I was actually on her show twice, once for the initial presentation, and then second time to clarify that I was with James Jancic recently for well over a two-hour interview with him dealing with this topic. And he's a great interviewer because he knows this topic in depth. He's tried to have a lot of these jokers on his radio show out of Chicago, AM station out of Chicago, and also Feet to Fire is his show. But he's a guy that asks hard questions, so most of these people will not go on his show because he's not a soft, puffy type of talk show host that agrees with everything the guest says. He goes after them. He makes them prove their points. And you know what? When they get on the air, they fall apart because none of these people can substantiate anything that they're talking about. But back to the Crazy Lady Talks to Aliens, May 15, 2003, that was a contrived disinformation program to put an end to this entire topic of Planet X. And you see, it started about the same time that Hale-Bopp was publicly discovered, because if they were in the military, the mill scientists knew that eventually amateurs would see that. So they had to get a program together that would dispel this idea of Planet X. Now, the other thing is that by the time Hale-Bopp had been discovered, it had already lost time in its orbit. And that's the thing about comets. The ancients called them the lawless ones because their orbits change. And that's, once again, my work shows how the tail drag causes this. And so by the time 1995 rolled around, its orbit had changed enough to know that it wasn't going to be that devastating an interaction with Earth, although at that time it was slated to come within about I won't say an exact number because I'm still working on these orbits, but within a relatively close distance of Earth. But of course, here you have NASA Tier 2 science saying it's a dirty little snowball, won't cause any problems at all. The Tier 1 people knowing full well it's a very large object, going to have serious repercussions on Earth because they understand my comet work is correct, but not close enough where it's going to cause mountain building, but something possibly comparable to the Noah's Flood or some type of similar event. So they don't want the public to know about this. And the time of the passage of this object is around 1997. Actually, Christmas Day 1997 was the designated time of passage, the original designated time of passage of the comet Hale-Bopp. So doubly, they did not want you, the public, to know that there was something going to happen, a giant comet that would affect Earth on Christmas Day 1997. Do you start to see where all of this is going? In the other 3 hours of this show, I will be talking about the science aspect of Planet X-type objects. I will be talking about the other two classifications of Planet X-type objects. I will be talking about the possibility of what kind of Earth damages can occur. I will be talking about the personalities, which is just a laundry list of idiots, quacks, and yo-yos out there running around the internet making claims that don't have any sense that make any sense at all. And I will be talking about these somewhat the psychology. Remember that I have an 18-hour CD lecture set just to give you an idea of the complexity of this. My two CD set, The Physics of Planet X and Ancient Celestial Disasters, 18 hours of lectures, this is going to expand on all of this, but the thing that is amazing now is this announcement that what Harrington was looking at was the nucleus of comet Hale-Bopp. There's no doubt that that's what he was looking at, so thus all of the controversy of Hale-Bopp, the Art Bell show when that hit, all of the denial by the astronomical community, the faking of data by NASA. The laundry list just goes on and on. So visit my webpage, jmccsci.com. Remember, if you order the set before midnight tonight, it'll be $20. If you order after midnight tonight, it'll be double that, $40. And also, it's right at the top of my webpage. Just go there, read the options. And this is such an amazing topic historically that I know everybody wants to partake in this. The webpage, jmccsci.com, 7 letters, jmccs as in Sam, c as in Charlie, I as in indigo.com. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.